The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we tackle the Book of Philippians in a humble and in a not so humble effort to get to know the letter better. First up, we study the opening prayer of Paul, in which he hopes that we are growing in love, because if we are not growing in our Christian love, and I'm not talking about fluffy feelings, we may be shrinking. So you're either growing or growing the wrong way. Next, we're told to be discerning between what is best and what is not, what is pure and what is not. And this requires that the Christian exercises judgment. And finally, we need to be catching the great truth of God that all of our being goody-goody and having goody-goody fruit isn't because of our goody-goody looks, but it comes through Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? That's a big part of our show. This is me talking in my radio voice. Do you like it? That's how you do it. You speak from the diaphragm, as opposed to thinking from your nose. Bottom line, you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483, through text. Text, everybody. Text, text. If you want to call into the show, Terrific T is back to take the phones. She has recovered from her birthday. We're not allowed to say which birthday it was, but let's just say she had a nice birthday, right? That's fair to say you had a nice birthday, right?
Yes, that's very fair.
Okay, and happy birthday to you. We want to make sure. Belated, though, but happy birthday, regardless. If you want to call in, 972-445-0770, that's the number to call. We do that for prayer requests, for praise reports. We do that for pop questions, and we do that for trivia. Here we go with our trivia. Here we go. Now, you're going to have to look on this answer. Do not Google it. Stop that. See, I know some of you are doing some Google. Stop that. Okay, you got to look. What is the eighth book of the Bible? Aha, Old and New Testament, it's the eighth book. That means you got to go to the beginning of the book and look it up and then count. And then just reach out to us and let us know what you got for an answer. Here's the bottom line. Any topic's open for conversation. And the reason that is because it's not professional radio. It's pretty much, just like we said, it's two cans and a string. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Oh, so much fun to tell you about so many things. Let's not forget that on Sunday, what day is that? Sunday. It's a day that ends with a Y. On Sunday, I'll be speaking at Stillwater Community Church. At Stillwater Community Church, the information is on our website, hemustincrease.org, at 9 and 11. And you can watch it live on YouTube and on Facebook, I think. Okay. Somebody's already calling in on the eighth book. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
June.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, it's good to hear you. All right, so did you look it up, or did you know automatically? You can be honest. It's okay. Did you look
neither,
it up?
Neither one. I'm doing that little song from elementary school.
Oh, you are so good. I love it. I love
I
that.
I may be wrong.
So you just went through it. All right, so what's the eighth book?
I thought it's Ruth.
That is correct, ma'am. You are right. Way to go. That song serves you well. Excellent job. Excellent way to start the show. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're off and rolling. You know how we are. We get it rolling. So, like I said, on Sunday I'll be sharing, and I'm going to be talking about the presence of the Lord. Ooh. The manifested presence of the Lord. Ooh. A true Baptist message. That's all I can tell you. Should be a lot of fun. We hope it's a lot of fun anyway. So I have been waiting to do this because I know some of you guys, you get, Dave, you're a little crazy. And it's like, yeah. And I like to teach. So I got like both those going on. But I thought I'd just share this with you. So a couple days ago, I was driving and I heard something that I had not heard for like 35 years. And it had to do with like a snappy answer to kind of like a dumb question. So I thought it might be fun just to pull up some of the old ones, and I just thought I'd pull up one or two. So it's not, we're not going to do this for a long time. But one of these I use still today every time I go to a restaurant. Is that terrible? You'll be able to figure out which one. Here it is. From a waiter, this is the question, to a husband and a wife. Table for how many? Answer, 112. We like to change seats every so often. Now, I use that now. I do that now. A waiter to the husband and wife. A table for how many? One, my wife will sit on my shoulders. No. Hold on. This is a good one. A waiter to a husband and wife. A table for how many? I don't know. I can't count that high either. Isn't that great? For those of you that remember some of those, we'll get back to those down the road. Down the road. Come on, 112. I like to change seats every so often. I've said that, and it's on more than one occasion. The person has literally stopped and looked back to me and said, how many? It's just pretty funny. All right, we are doing Philippians. Let's have our song for our expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
All right, it's not really a song. It's really a sound effect. That's my bad. All right, let's go into it, though, right away. This is Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and this is what Paul wrote. We're using the NIV to do the teaching primarily. I do the study in the Greek and in Hebrew, but I'll always use the NAS or the ESV. But when I'm teaching, I typically use the NIV, sometimes the New Living Translation, depending on what's going on. They'll all work. If it's working for you, keep reading it. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Let's start off with Paul's prayer. My prayer is that your love may abound more and more. Here's the deal. It's just really simple and honest to say. If you're not growing in love, you're stagnant. Okay, you've not reached that place where you don't need to grow in love. I haven't done that. You haven't done that. And the reason is because God is love, it's one of his definitions for who he is. You've not reached that place until you fully represent Jesus Christ in every possible element of your existence. So until you do that, you got to keep growing, right? Let's just use that classic 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, 6, 7 thing where it says this. Ready? And tell me if these apply to you. Instead of the word love, I'm going to use David. David is patient. Huh. David is kind. Yeah, sometimes. David does not envy. Sometimes. David does not boast. Uh-oh. David is not proud. All right, now I'm in trouble. David does not dishonor others. That's probably true. David is not self-seeking. False. David is not easily angered. 50-50. David keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, sure he doesn't. David does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I go, yeah. David is always protecting. Think so. Always trusting, mostly. Always hoping, absolutely. Always persevering. So far, here's the deal. The deal is all of those characteristics are characteristics of love that we need to be growing in. And so the simple question is, are you patient, love, kind? Are you in any kind of boasting? Are you easily, are you proud? Are you easily angered? Do you offend it easily? Do you keep a record of wrongs? You know what? Love moves us past that. And we got to move that way, and we got to abound. And it's not just love in this fluffy sense. It's the quality of love. It's this quality of love that you and I operate that reflects the true character of God. It's not a fake love. It's not a feeling love. It's a conscious decision love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Love is a conscious decision to act. It's not that the person is entitled. That would be false. I love my children. They have rarely earned it. That would be how I would say it. But I love them nonetheless. So the idea is that we're supposed to love. And I think you're pretty solid on who you're supposed to love. I mean, you know we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so there are three components. You're supposed to love God with everything inside of you. You're connected to that, everything inside of you. And then you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love you. So you're connected to that one too. So guess what? You're connected in this love for God, and you're connected in this love for your neighbor. And that's the system. That's how it works. And we're supposed to be growing in that. And I found myself lately praying. And when I'm praying, I tell the Lord, I say, you know, I think I'm absent. You know, I go through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the nine fruits of the Spirit. And I stop and I just go, I'm not even doing, you know, love very well. And I'm not doing joy very well. And quite frankly, I'm probably not doing peace very well. And I need help there. We need to be growing in love. And it's as dumb as it can be the way that it's portrayed. Because I think that from a church teaching point of view, it kind of loses some of its flavor because they throw around the word love like they do McChickens or something. You know, it's like it just tosses around, doesn't matter. Love that's genuine, biblical, truthful, agape love, a conscious decision to give, to sacrifice, to extend, even to those that are not worthy, which is an important part of this, is supposed to grow in our Christian character. And that's what Paul says. You know what my first prayer for you is? Because I love you guys. You know what my big prayer for you is? You grow in this. You grow in this love. Because this is a key component to roll everything off of. This, after his intro, first thing he's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to grow in love. And you think, well, that's so simplistic. Yeah? Do it. If it's so easy, manifest it. That's a challenge, right? Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, you can reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text. And a lot of people do like to prefer to text. It's easier. And we do get quite a few texts. I try to answer them. Then what I do is at the end of the show, I try to like text everybody who responded and, you know, kind of have some kind of engagement. And that takes a while. Just so you can know. And I'm trying to do it less on the road. So I try to do it here in the studio because I don't want to be one of those drivers that I observe. Not that I complain. One of those drivers that I observe that are on the road. Here is our next trivia question for those that are ready. I hope you're feeling good about this. That first one was not, I don't think that was too difficult. Here, this one is not very difficult, I think, as well. King Herod. In the book of Acts, King Herod was eaten by what? It's like, you just think Godzilla. Like, no, not Godzilla. Godzilla, not in the Bible. Okay, let's not forget hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so I wanted to make sure everybody knows about the HeMustIncrease.org. We are so close. First of all, thank you, everybody, for giving. Okay, let me just say that. So over the last week and a half, we've had some people that are giving, and we just really appreciate everybody that gives, and everybody knows it. It's not overly deep rocket science kind of stuff, and we are like 89-91% of goal. It's like, that's pretty close. But you still have today. And then we have people that will get like paid like on Thursday evening and send it in Thursday. It's so weird how it happens. But by the grace of God, we keep going forward, and God lets us keep doing it. And we give praise and thanks to Him. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate your support, but specifically your prayers. To me, that is the biggest thing. If you're praying for me, you're in this with me, and that becomes the real big thing in my mind. Let's cover a little bit of history, and then we got to go into some deeper teaching, and we're going to get, remember, we're getting into Philippians, and now this is the actual transition teaching, so we're doing expository, so we're going to get into it, and you're going to see some things that pop up that may kind of make you scratch your head. Before we get in there, let's talk about a couple of days that today is. Did you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, today is National Cheesecake Day. Are you a cheesecake fan? No? You don't like cheesecake? Really?
Yeah, cheesecake is nasty. I don't like cream cheese.
So you don't like that whole kind of, that whole genre, mm-hmm. That whole thing. Got it. How about National Chili Dog Day? Okay, yep. See? Now you like that.
Like
see?
That.
See? It's also
yummy.
World...
Yummy.
That's good. It's World Snorkeling Day. And for those that don't know, I actually am certified scuba diver, believe it or not. People don't know this about me. I got certified maybe 35 years ago or whatever it was. And I've been scuba diving and snorkeling in many, 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 many places. Ironically, the funniest part about snorkeling is the best places to snorkel. You can already see from your boat all the way down to the bottom of the ocean. And the irony is there's almost no point in snorkeling because you can already see everything so clearly. That's a whole separate discussion, another point. On this day in 1951, the first checkers program, how about that, was written by a British computer scientist named Christopher Starchy, and it was done at the National Physics Laboratory Pilot ACE computer location. I always thought that was kind of an interesting thought. It's a first computer, but it's 1951, so it's almost 70 years ago they had a computer program for checkers. I wonder what took so long from 1951 to 1970s Pong. I mean, that's just, if you think about it. Last thing I want to tell you, 1956, In God We Trust was adapted as the United States national motto. The phrase In God We Trust was adapted as an official motto, first used on coins in 1864, and then began appearing on paper money in 1957. Kind of wish we can get back to some of that. Okay, so many people know the question on board. King Herod was a king in the book of Acts, and he was eaten by what? If you know the answer, you can call it in or you can text it in. Let's get right back to the text because I want to talk about this. Paul opens up this prayer for these people that he adores. He loves these people. The Philippian church is one of the most, this is one of the most intimate letters that Paul writes. And as he writes, he goes, here's my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. So he's not just praying that they would be people that love, but that they would be people that get it. All right, now we do have somebody calling in, so we'll take that, and then we'll go right back to the text. But I want it really for you to focus in on the knowledge and depth of insight. Go ahead. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is Ace.
Hey, Ace, what's going on, brother?
Not much. Just traveling down the road, heading home.
All right. Make sure you drive safe. That's a big part of this, okay?
All right.
King Herod, he got eaten by... Do you remember what he got eaten by?
Yeah, it was terrible. Worms.
Worms! That's right! Worms! Oh, my goodness. He gave a great speech, and the people all went, wow, he's fantastic. He's such a great guy, and he just took a bow, and the Lord said, you didn't give me glory, huh? Zeppo!
Yeah,
and then he got eaten by worms. Yeah. That's pretty humbling.
Yeah, that ain't no way to go, is it? But we're going to all go that way, and the body will one day, I guess, so we can't turn it back to that too much.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my brother. Excellent job. Thank you for calling in. You know we love you. We know we're praying for you every day.
Sure do appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
God bless
All right.
you. All right.
God bless you. Yeah.
Excellent job. Excellent, excellent job. All right, so let's go back into this text. I don't want you to miss this because this next segment that we get into goes really deep because we're talking about discernment. But first, Paul is saying, I want you to abound in love and in knowledge and depth of insight. So when Paul says knowledge and depth of insight, you hear these terms and you think, well, that's a really Bible-y term. It's like, depth of insight. What does that mean? And depth of insight has to do with perception, spiritual perception. So let me key in on this. This is a big point. The knowledge part, he wants people to grow in their knowledge of life. Of course, their knowledge of God. Of course, their knowledge of Scripture. Of course, their knowledge of people and their relationship with one another. But he wants their depth of insight to increase. And this is an important point because we're going to be talking about discernment in the next segment. But when you see something on television, when you read something on the internet, when you read a book, when I read a commentary, when I read a, you know, some kind of journal, some article, something along those lines, you and I have to have our perception meter going. And what that is we need to be spiritually perceptive. When somebody says something on the news, it might have no spiritual value whatsoever. Or it may have a kingdom application, or it may have a kingdom undercut the kingdom application. All of those things are critical for you and I to grow up. And I know I'm saying that almost in a mean way, but it's important. It's important for us to start having frameworks that when we absorb something and we take it into our system, we put it through a filter of a spiritual lens. Because not everything in the world is just simply 2 + 2 or mayonnaise on some kind of sandwich. Sometimes you got to look a little deeper. You got to think a little deeper. You got to probe a little deeper. You got to consider it a little deeper. I can tell you right now that the news 40 years ago had a, what they would say, had a spirit of objectivity, but now the news has a spirit of a narrative. So objectivity was reporting and not using adjectives. Narratives use adjectives, and they define things in what they're saying. So instead of reporting something from an objective point of view, they describe a narrative, a theme, a story that they're trying to communicate. What they used to do and what they do now are not the same. And you and I need to be mature enough to go, nah, that's not good. And what's really important that will really help you the rest of your life, I know you don't, some people don't like English. I mean, I get the adjectives and adverbs and pronouns. I mean, I get it. But you have to understand what an adjective does. An adjective describes, gives that descriptive term, and that's when they'll say, so you'll have the same story. You know, the wiseacre Jughead. Okay, so as soon as you get to Jughead, you already know he's a wiseacre. That wiseacre is the adjective. Okay? Or that genius Jughead. Hey, what's the adjective? Genius. That changes, it's the same person giving a different flavor in its presentation. That, the church, the people of the church and the people of God need to do a better job in discerning. So we need to have a knowledge that gives us this understanding and a perception, a depth of insight. And it's very important that it says depth, okay? Because there is a depth of insight. Because why? Because too many of us are often too shallow. And that's why we get blown around by the winds and the waves. And we're like, oh, we can't figure out why we can't. Because we're shallow. What we need is depth. You take an anchor and you drop it 1 foot down. It's not the greatest. You drop 300 feet down, then see what happens. Immovable. And why that is crucial is because what Paul talks about next in regards to our ability to discern what is proper, what is pure, and what is blameless. See, that's critical now. So one thing, as Paul is praying, it builds upon another. You got to have love, and love's going to be the basis of our action and activity. But you can't be shallow about this. You got to abound in knowledge. You got to abound in depth of insight. Because why? Because we're going to have to discern. We're going to have to differentiate. We're going to have to test. We're going to have to evaluate. And we better have our perception lenses going in order for us to be able to operate in discernment. You might not have the spiritual gift of discernment in and of itself, but discernment is something that God has poured into you through His Holy Spirit. Okay? So we'll get back. We'll get into the depth of it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station. Here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am, you reach down.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. From 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to guess you guys know you can reach us by phone, 972-445-0770, or by text, 214-210-8483. I want to thank everybody that's texting in and the people that are calling in. We got people texting and calling and texting. That's always good. Text and call and text. There we go. People are like, uh-oh, what's he getting ready to talk about? Wait till we get to this thing. You're going to be like, oh, I haven't heard that. In what book of the Bible do we find the words, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow? Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What book of the Bible is that in? All right, let's talk about our website, HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so that's what you guys got to know. HeMustIncrease.org. If the show is a blessing and you're able to contribute, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. Don't forget about my speaking engagement on Sunday. You can also be praying for me. If you remember, it's 9 o'clock. Well, I think that Dave guy's speaking. Well, just pray for me. Okay, you probably want to pray that I don't fall off the stage, because guess what I don't do? I don't stand behind the little pulpity thingy. I don't stand behind the music stand. You know, it's a music stand. I don't do that. I will use the entire stage.
Just walk around and be on each side.
You should see it so bad. It is really bad. And then I'm like when I was pastoring, I used props. Like I think I mentioned before, I used an old Bible and told people, if you're not going to use it, and threw the Bible all the way to the back, probably, you know, 50, 60, about 90 feet, all the way straight to the back, pages flying everywhere. People were like in shock. It was a destroyed Bible anyway, so it wasn't true. But I was trying to put, if you're not going to use it, and then I threw it, and I go, then throw it away, you know. No dramatic anything. Not me, Mr. No Drama. All right, let's go into this text. I just have to do this, and there's a reason why I'm pushing in this direction, so please don't misunderstand what's going on here. All right, so Paul, he's praying for the Philippian church. These are people that he loves. He's very impassioned about these people. He really cares about them. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And here's the key to this. So you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. So Paul takes these people he's close to, and he tells them, I am praying that you grow in love and that you grow in knowledge of God and knowledge of life and knowledge of, you know, what's being taught and knowledge of people, and that you have your spiritual perceptors on so that you can discern what is best. And this is the part where people miss, and I'm really glad that the judgment clip was played just before this, because I have no call on that. That's completely done out of my sight. And that is a crucial element to this. And we did do a teaching about it on it about a week or a week and a half ago, that Christians are required to judge. They're not required to judge eternally whether a person is going to go to hell or not, because we don't know how that scope's going to be. But we are required to declare biblical truth, what is right, what is wrong. Jesus said, judge ye righteous judgment. Same guy who said, judge not, lest ye be judged. But in context, he said, don't do hypocritical judging. Do earnest, honest, reflective, sincere, mercy-filled judging. That's what will be used with you. That's a great way to go about that. By the way, it does not mean when Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged, that God will never judge you at the end of life. That's just an ultimate contradiction to Scripture on every level. That one passage is all about hypocritical judging, and they've ruined it and they've destroyed it. And here, Paul is telling you, guess what? You're going to have to judge what's best. You're going to have to discern. And discernment at its heart has to do with testing. It has to do with evaluating. It has to do with that discerning part of you has to evaluate. This is good and this is bad, okay? If you look at uncooked chicken on your left and fried chicken on your right, and they say which one you think will be good for you or better for you, you wouldn't eat the uncooked chicken because it would get you sick. You have discerned that the fried chicken would be better. Now I want chicken. But that's not the point. The point is you have to use that evaluative capacity. And that word, dokimazo, means to test or to prove or to examine or to evaluate or to distinguish or to discern what is fit. And that's what you and I have to do on every level. And by the way, that's an important part about that word, the kind of a cognitive understanding. It is done to demonstrate what is good, not to demonstrate what is not good. And that's an important distinction. The goal is not for you and I to use discernment so we can say, aha, that's bad. Aha, that's bad. Aha, they're wrong. It's so that we can say, aha, that's good. Aha, that's right. Aha, that's correct. The difference between those two is your spirit. If your spirit is critical, you're going to try and disprove something. If you're trying to follow it in the realm of God, you're going to try and, in this case, as Paul is saying, prove that it is good or demonstrate or test. You're looking for the good, not the bad. You're not looking to find something bad, point it out, you know, build a shrine to it, put spotlights around it, and go, bad, 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 bad. You're looking to see the good, not the bad. You're looking to prove the good. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is kind of a tougher teaching, but I want you to get this, because that discernment has to do with maturity. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Kind of important that it says good from evil and not evil from good, but we'll talk about that another time. Discernment has to do with distinguishing. The gift of discernment has to do with distinguishing what spirit is at the core of it. Paul is not referring that to that. In this principle, he's saying Christian character requires discernment, an ability to understand and to pull out what's best. And you need to discern what's best, and the things that are best should be acknowledged. The things that are best that are helpful should be a blessing, should be promoted, should be encouraged. And things that are not, or things that are negative, or things that are evil, should be dropped. You don't build a monument to those, because other people might catch that monument, and they might look at it wrong way, and you might lead them down the wrong road. Bad call. You pull out what's good, let God take care of the rest of it. And it says so that we can be pure and blameless. And this is why this is all so important. Because that word pure is a reflection of aletheia, the word aletheia, and it has to do with being real. It has to do with being sincere. It has to do with being truthful. In other words, fake Christianity is like the worst thing ever. God can't stand it. It's horrible. And he's like, no, you got to discern, you got to walk this, you got to pull out what's best so you can be pure, you can be real, you can be sincere, you can be true, and blameless. And the word blameless in the Greek means non-injurious. The goal is not to create injury. The goal is substantially to shine like a light in darkness, not to kick the darkness in the behind. He's saying that's not, and why I'm bringing that up is because sometimes Christians focus on it and they're like, look how bad this is. Look how bad this is. Look how bad this is. And it's like, dude, look how amazing this part is. Look how fantastic this is. Look how strong this is. Look how wise this is. I mean, you have this thing going on with the virus. I'm just going to say it because people are going to get mad about it anyway. You got this thing going on with the virus, and there's a lot of rubbish and a lot of bad. But you know what else has happened? More people have given their hearts to Jesus Christ online than at any other time in history of mankind. How much of that do you hear promoted? Not too much. And people don't think God knows what he's doing. That's the classic. It's like, well, sure is inconvenient. Okay. I think the idea that people are getting saved is convenient. Technically, as Christians, we're just hanging out till the very last person says yes. And then all the stuff really happens at accelerated rates. But let's get as many saved as we can. Kind of, you know, as we hasten the day of the Lord, the scripture says. But the key ingredient in that, the maturity level, is for you and I to have this discernment operating in us, discerning and pulling out the things that are good and hanging on to those and discerning what is best. So we may be able to discern or distinguish what is best and may be pure and blameless in our own lives, being sincere and real and being non-injurious. Don't injure people with your walk. You know, there are people that you know that you see on television. Let's just be honest. They're going to hell. I mean, you know it. I know it. We all know it. They're the biggest actors in the world, okay? But pointing that out is not as beneficial as pointing out what is helpful. People already know some of those people are going to split hell wide open. They wouldn't know Jesus if he spit in their eye. By the way, he healed 3 people through spitting, so... People should be aware. Our old line used to be they wouldn't know Jesus. They couldn't figure out how to punch their way out of a paper bag. They wouldn't know the difference between Jesus if he slapped them or if he gave them a hug. I mean, that's the thing. The thing is to understand that don't matter. But we should be focused on that which is helpful and good, right? All right. Okay. Isn't that fun? That's just. It gets deeper in the teaching, folks. I'm just telling you. All right. The answer to the question, where was that passage found that I was reading? And the passage was, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The book of Isaiah. That's Isaiah 1. I think it's 18. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience.
So we, being not completely unlike... You know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love hearing that story. It's just, first of all, we used that Dominic the Donkey long before the animated show Family Guy used it. I just want to point that out. And then the other part about that was that we ended up going to City Market, which is a market in Silverthorne, Colorado, and I had to buy a tree that was pre-wrapped with twine and... I'll never forget that. I wasn't questioning my sincere faith, but the holiday stuff, you know, was like, you know, this is not working out. I've had all that stuff go wrong. All right, so let's see. We got one more trivia question. Don't forget. So one person has hit all trivia questions. Let's see who can get this next one. You can call in or you can text in. Nice job, Joy. Very good. 214-210-8483 is the text. 972-445-0770 is the actual phone number. Here you go. This is not a specific name. This is more of what the city is supposed to be. In the Old Testament, people that had committed a heinous crime, murder, something like that, could flee to what city, in what cities, plural, in order to be safe. They were called cities of, and it's where you would have to go if there was an accidental crime, so on and so forth. They were known as a particular type of city. They were called cities of, and then you got to fill in that blank. You can text it in or you can call it in. This has to do with going away to a safe place so that your case can be evaluated, so nobody takes vengeance on you before you have your trial. Okay, so where did you go when that took place? I probably really ruined the way that was supposed to be answered, but somebody got it. That's good. Okay, I'm happy about that. All right, let's finish this up, and I want to make sure you get this. It's really important to me. Here's Paul's prayer. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God.
Look at somebody calling in. That's so cool.
Hi, this is David. Who am I talking to? Oh, hey, we lost him. Okay. I'll take a pepperoni. Okay. Sorry. That happens. It's just one of those things that happens. All right, so let's go back to that last part of this. So he says, again, so you may be able to discern what is best and pure and blameless into the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. So let's talk about this just for a split second. There is an idea that you and I are called, and this would be true, to walk the Christian walk. But there is this other notion that somewhere along that walk, we think, well, you know, I'm starting to do this stuff. I'm starting to get pretty good at it. Wow, I'm really producing great Christian fruit. And the truth of the matter is, you're not producing anything that's great Christian fruit apart from your connection to Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 5, remain in me, and I also remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. To remain in the Greek is close to the word abide, and it means to live in. And you have to live in Jesus to have fruit that looks like Jesus. Okay, let's try it again now. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah from Dallas.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, so this is kind of, I said the question kind of goofy, so you have to forgive me for that. But what I'm looking for is when something would happen in the Old Testament, people would go to these particular cities to be safe until they could get everything kind of squared away. What kind of city was that? What were the names of those cities or the title or the description?
Is it Cities of Refuge?
That is correct!
Yes.
You are 100% correct. So even though I said it bad, they would be cities of refuge. And so if something happened and you did it and you were a part of it, but it wasn't necessarily something that was wrong, you could go to a city of refuge and be safe until the account was taken care of or dealt with. And typically a person would have to remain there until the death of the high priest, even after the case was done. But it was a safety place, a safety zone that you could go to. So excellent job. Were you guessing or did you kind of know?
I kind of knew.
Okay, but you went for it and you were right. So great job.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. Bye. All right.
Excellent. All right. So City of Refuge. Let me tell you something. There is a great symbolism in that, in case you didn't know that. But when you and I are in the wrong place, we need to go to the City of Refuge. So you know who the king is in the City of Refuge? The Lord. Oh, Lord, here I come. Never forget that Adam and Eve ran away from God, but in the law, when they sinned, they ran away from God. But in the law, the Old Testament high priest went into the presence of God on the day of Yom Kippur to deal with sin. You don't run away from God, you run to God. Okay? It's always the key. So in this discussion that we're having, though, I want us to understand that our connection to Jesus Christ is what enables us to produce real fruit. And it says, fruit filled with fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The fruit that is produced in our life that comes through Jesus honors the Father. Can't say it any better. You know how I like to go at corporate worship. You know, some of the people raise hands, some people don't, some people clap, some people dance. Not as many people dancing now. But, I mean, it's just kind of a variety, right? All of that closeness, all of that connection, all of that appreciation to the Lord are expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving, and they honor the Lord. They bring glory and honor to God. Well, you know what else brings glory and honor to God? When we have fruit of righteousness that we have because we're connected to Jesus, that also honors God. And that's why you go, yeah, I want that. And it comes through. We can't produce this fruit apart from Jesus Christ. And the truth is, our right living by being connected to Jesus brings praise to God the Father. It's like, really? And you think, well, I don't know. I don't see other people really recognizing it. It doesn't bring praise to God the Father from some guy who's not looking at your life. It brings praise to God the Father in the heavenly places before the hosts in the stage of heavens and in testimony to God. And some people here on earth might see it. But that's not the key. The key component is to bring the praise to God. And we can bring praise to God by our right lives. And we can have our right lives by being connected to Jesus. And we can be connected to Jesus by hanging out with Jesus. That's just like, Dave, how come you always come back to that? Always connecting to Jesus. I don't know. Maybe because that's the answer. That's why. And you think, but I'm going through a hard time. It's really hard. I know. And Jesus knows what hard times are. And that's who knows that better than him? Being crucified by his very own creation. And yet being connected to him is the key component. And that's what helps you to endure that harsh time, because he gets it. I mean, that's what you need. You need a high priest that gets it, right? Yeah. And so this whole thing, it comes back to David. There's one portion which kind of misinterpreted, but I'll go with the King James on this because it's better. And that's, my goodness does not extend beyond thee. My goodness extendeth not beyond thee. It probably could be translated better, but the sentiment is 1,000% correct. And here's the sentiment. I don't have anything good apart from the Lord. Are you kidding? If I was left alone to me by myself, I would self-destruct. I'm just saying, remember that Mission Impossible? The staple self-destruct in 5 seconds. I'd be faster. I would just be. But in the Lord, I have this great place of refuge and safety. I have this great place of connection. And all the stuff that I do that is good is because he's helping me do it. But just to be smart enough to know that's a good idea. So when you come before the Lord, one of the things I often say before, even before I start worshiping, is, I'm an idiot. But here I am. Because at least there's a truth to that. I'm not trying to be that way, but apart from him, you can't do it. So listen, apart from Jesus, you're not going to do it. Don't do it in your own strength. And it's all for his glory, not for you to look good, but for him to be praised. That's all, you got to think of it that way. That's the prayer that Paul opens with to these people that he loves and adores. And you can understand why. It's all about being in that connected position with Jesus Christ. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Destroying everyone and everything
he finds. He's the hungry giant. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.